My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Every once in a while, I think it's a very good thing for us to hear from the younger generation. So I have invited Sister Erica Brown to speak first, and we are going to experience a wonderful word from the Lord. And Brandon Anderson is going to speak after her. And then Brother Strobel is going to end up the night, and we're just going to have a great time. I'm looking forward to hearing what they have to say. And it's just good for us to hear the heartbeat of the younger generation every once in a while. God bless you. You may be seated, Sister Erica.
Good evening. It's great to see you all tonight. I would like to speak briefly from the scripture in Proverbs. The chapter is 16, verse 24. I love Proverbs. If you ever want an inspiration or conviction, read a Proverbs. Amen. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. What really stood out to me in this passage was pleasant words. So I looked up the word pleasant for some more synonyms and descriptions, and I found enjoyable, agreeable, pleasing, good, lovely, charming, and friendly. All of those are words as in honeycomb. I looked a little bit further into the benefits of honey and honeycomb. As you all probably know, you can eat an entire honeycomb, and it's said to be very good for you. There's a lot of medical benefits. Honeycomb is nutritional. Honey can help lower blood pressure. It is used to promote burn and wound healing. It's good for the heart, antibacterial and anti-inflammatory, and protects against infection. So one could say pleasant words are nutritional. Pleasant words can help lower blood pressure. And unpleasant words can raise it, as we all know. Pleasant words can promote wound healing. Pleasant words are good for the heart. They can be anti-inflammatory and protect against infection. There are some doctors, Dr. Newberg and Waldman, who wrote a book called Words Can Change Your Brain. It's a study, scientific study, of how it has been proven that words actually do change the brain. A quote from the book is, A single word has the power to influence the expression of genes that regulate physical and emotional stress. It can strengthen areas in our frontal lobes and promote the brain's cognitive function. One word. So peace, hope, joy, pleasant words. We also know further in Proverbs that death and life are in the power of the tongue. If you find it difficult to consistently speak pleasant words, it can be hard. You can have a bad day. You can have a bad mood. Bad mood is not the same thing as bad habits. So we have to make sure we don't get trapped in a cycle of negativity. If it's just so hard to be pleasant, I just don't want to be pleasant, I can't be pleasant, I can't think of anything good to say, that might be a sign of something deeper within our hearts. David touches on this in Psalms. In his prayer, he says in Psalms 19, verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." My mother always told us growing up, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And I used to think, that means I have to be quiet. That can be a challenge. Speaking of challenges, I'm sure you've all heard of the no complaint challenge. There's a verse in the Bible, I'm sure y'all have read it. It basically says, don't complain ever. Philippians chapter 2, do all things without murmuring and disputings. That's hard. So I read that one day and I thought, okay, in the morning, I'm not going to complain. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I'm not going to complain all day. How hard can it possibly be? So then I woke up and there's a reason it is called a challenge. So I knew that I had something I had to work on. So I would like to issue this challenge to you all tonight and to myself. If we could have pleasant words for the rest of the week, two words, be pleasant. Can you say to someone next to you, be pleasant? Can you say to someone else, you too? All right. Thank you for your time tonight, and that's all I have.
What a magnificent word from a magnificent lady. I had to get my jive in. Okay, I would be remiss if I did not say thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. Words cannot express what a great honor and privilege it is to stand in this pulpit. You have such great leadership and great men of God. And I love and appreciate the Kinseys and the Strobels, the Staffords, and all our leadership. Don't we have the best leadership in this church around? Amen. If you have your Bibles, could you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 34. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 34. If you have it, say amen. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Would you put your Bibles down and lift your hands, stand if you want, and let's... Let the Lord have his way over this word. God, we praise your name. Thank you for what you're doing in this house today. Thank you for your power and your glory, God. Would you let your word be spoken here, God? Anoint the preaching of your word and open the hearts and the minds to receive it with gladness, God. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated if you stood. God works in mysterious ways. There are some things about God that we will just never know. Because we are human and incapable of comprehending them, God is just greater than our imaginations. Romans 11 and 33, it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." You can't find out the ways of God. You can't search it out. You'll never find the end to it. Some things about God, we just don't have the capacity to wrap our minds around. And it's in these times that we have to rely on trusting God and knowing that he is all-knowing, he is all-powerful, and he has all things working together for our good. God gets glory from a great many things. He is an awesome God. He will get the glory no matter what. He is jealous of his glory, and he will always make sure that it comes to himself and no other. He gets the glory from the beauty of his creation. He gets glory from the salvation that he so lovingly offers us. He gets glory from our lives, giving praise and glory to him. He gets glory from the miracles and the powerful things that he does in our lives and in our midst. He gets glory in judgment, and he gets glory in mercy. He is higher than any of us. He will get the glory no matter what. And it's because he gets the glory that he knows we have a tendency to puff ourselves up. Get the big head every once in a while. And it's difficult to speak peaceful things and to come down, abase ourselves, and recognize that God is the one that's in control. I can't control everything. He will get the glory. And one way that he gets the glory is found in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. It lets man know that God is the all-powerful being and we do not have the final say. He will have the final say no matter what's done. He will get the glory. And God establishes his authority in concealing matters from man. If it was easy for us to find everything out, we wouldn't truly appreciate the depth of the riches of the glory of God. But he has found fit to conceal things from us, to hide them from us, so that we can get honor in searching them out. The Hebrew word here is dabar. It is a word, a spoken matter, or a thing. This word dabar is actually used in both portions of this scripture. If we could put Proverbs 25 and 2 back up. Dabar is used for a thing, and dabar is used for a matter. Dabar, a word, a spoken matter. It refers to not necessarily just what is spoken, but the purpose of what is spoken, or the matter, the spoken matter, the principle of what's being said. It's more than just a word that you can listen to. It's the weight behind the words. It's the matter that the words are trying to convey. It's something that someone is trying to give to you. And this word, dabar, is used here twice. The glory of God is to conceal it, and the honor of a king is to search it out. I'm no Hebrew scholar, but I do know how to research things and read a concordance, and I've gotten pretty good at sifting through all the nonsense that you find online and trying to pick out what actually matters. So if you research, many who our Hebrew scholars will point out the poetic beauty taking place in the scripture here. We all know that Hebrew is a poetic language, and there are words here that are meant for poetic beauty. Glory is kavod. The word for hidden or concealed is kathar. And the word for word or matter, dabar. Glory, kavod, hidden, kathar, word, dabar. The glory is hidden in the word. God hides the deepest truths of himself deep within his word. He hides them by literally covering them over. Just as we find that our sins are hidden from God, so he puts his hand over the deepest parts of his glory and conceals them in the word, just for us to show ourselves studious enough to search them out. It's his glory to conceal it, but it's the honor of kings to search it out. For the king to search out a matter would be understanding and privilege. He gained wisdom and spiritual insight. And there are some things that were hidden so deep in the word of God that the king could not figure them out without deep and meticulous study of the law. There was no greater honor for a king than to understand the word of God. And if you remember, the kings of Israel were actually to give themselves in dedication to study the law and the scripture. Moses, when he gave the law, before there was ever a finite nation that dwelt in the land of Canaan, before Israel was ever established as a true nation in the promised land, Moses gave the law, and in foresight and prophetic word, he said, I know you people, you're ignorant, you're stiff-necked, aren't we sometimes? And he knew that there would come a time when the Israelites did not want God as their king. So in Deuteronomy 17, 18 and 19, he said, and it shall be when he, that is a king that they chose out for themselves, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein some of the days when it's convenient, when he's feeling all right. When he wakes up and remembers to. No, he said, all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord, his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. The king was to always have his own copy that he had written, his own copy of the law before him. And read in it every single day to read, to study the word of God. Not a day was to go by without the king looking, searching, studying the word of God. This was to keep him humble and to give God the glory for the deep mysteries hidden in his word. And of course, we all know that we are kings and priests. Right? Revelation 5 and 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We are kings and priests. As such, Proverbs 25 and 2 must apply to me. It must. Just like the kings of Israel, it's my honor to search out a matter that God has hidden for his glory. It is no greater honor for me than to find those deep truths, those hidden truths, those nuggets of wisdom, the things that God has so greatly hidden deep in his word. There's no greater honor for me than to study and dedicate myself to search them out so that I can give God glory in the matter. There is no greater purpose for my life. There is no greater thing that I could dedicate myself to than to search out, where is the glory of God? Where has he hidden his truths? It's my honor. Where to do it? It gives sight to the blind. It gives understanding to the simple. It's greater than you can imagine. It is our purpose to search out those things, to find the glory of God. We want that purpose. We must spend time every day searching in God's word. There is not a day to go by, just like for the kings of Israel. Not a day is to go by without reading in the law, without reading the scriptures, to search them out, to find what God has for us. God will show us more than we could ever imagine. There are greater things to be found. You'll never search out the end of God. You could never search out the end of His glory. You could never find the greatness, all the end of His power, of His magnificence. He is superb in all things. There is none greater. There is none higher. There is none that can compare. He looked around and he said, where's anybody else like me? Where's anybody else that can do what I can do? And he found no one. So he said, I'll do it myself. There's nobody else. Nobody like my God. How will you ever find out what God has for you if you don't search it out? How will you ever attain to the fullness of God's purpose and design if you don't search out His glory? It's hidden. It's covered. I want to find that glory. I want to find that purpose, that destiny. He has it for me, and He has it for you. So I pray Paul's prayer in Ephesians over you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power.
Well, let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise right now. What a word that we have heard tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sister Erica, Brother Brandon, what a powerful word that you have given us tonight, and what a challenge. A challenge goes to each and every one of us tomorrow when you wake up. No complaining. No murmuring. Let's see how far you can get. Let's see if you can make it to breakfast. Let's see if you can make it before you have your coffee. You can get through your coffee without complaining and murmuring. But what a powerful word we have just heard. And you could be seated tonight. In Mark chapter 10, in verse 21, this account in the Gospels is perhaps one of the saddest stories that you'll read in the Gospels. In Mark chapter 10, the Bible says it was a young man who came to Jesus. He was a good man. He kept the word. He lived by it. He did exactly what he was taught to do. He knew it inside and out. He had a desire, though. The Bible said that when he came to Jesus, Jesus beholding him and Mark chapter 10 and verse 21, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and take up the cross and follow me. And listen to verse 22. I don't know if it impacts you, but when I read this, I'm always just aggravated at the response of this young man. Because here is Jesus loving this man, compassionately interacting with this man. And the Bible says that when Jesus gave him that word, the treasure of that word, that priceless word. The Bible said that he was sad at that saying. He went away grieved, the Bible declared, for he had great possessions. Now, it's no surprise that Jesus sees this here in this encounter with this young man, but there are even times today when you and I go away sad, grieved by what we have heard, moved by what the pastor has said. Perhaps you thought it was the way it should have been said or how it should have been delivered. But let me just say this tonight, that when Jesus told this man to go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, there is no better deliverer of the word than the word made flesh. Jesus loved this man and wanted to make sure this man knew exactly where he was lacking. And I fear today in the church that many of us don't want to know. We don't want to understand. We don't want to receive it. We want to keep Jesus at a distance. But if you're going to do what God has called you to do, if you're going to become what God wants you to become, you've got to be willing to say, Lord, go ahead and speak to me today, Lord. I'm searching those scriptures. I'm searching that word, oh God. And I need you to show me what I need to see. I need you to show me what things I need to change. The Bible said that this man came running to Jesus. When he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? This young man was wanting Jesus to punch his ticket. He wanted Jesus to just basically say, well done. You've done it all. You've kept it all. You've done all that you were taught. Great job. You're on your way right now. You're guaranteed a place in heaven. But what Jesus did this day was say, hold on, young man. What you've done to this point has been great and it has been good. But what you need right now is a divine inspection of your heart. Brandon, if you're going to search that word every day, that word is able to do that divine inspection of the heart. When we deceive ourselves, the word is powerful enough to get to the root of the matter. The word is powerful enough to go exactly into the part of our heart and our minds that need to hear, that need to understand. No, I don't have it all together, Lord. And that word I just read has touched something deep in my heart. Lord, let me see it, but not only let me see it, let me change what I need to change. It was a divine inspection, Jesus said, the young man needed. The psalmist said it so long ago. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. We in the church in this hour, we can give that scripture a lot of lip service, but if you ever really pray it and mean it, I knew I'd get that kind of response because we're not open to the fact of going, Lord, search it. Because we're not willing, because we know that there's some things back there that we don't want him to see. But understand this, we know he already knows what's in the heart. But what we're doing by saying, oh God, search me and know me. In essence, it's not that God needs to find out. It's that we need to find out that God knows and that God wants us to change. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Are you willing to say, search me, oh God? Don't just give it lip service. But the next time you pray, ask that question of God and declare that in your prayer and really mean it, and you'll be amazed at what God does. Because he will tell you He will show you. It was a psalmist saying there's nothing more important than knowing that word. Why? Because I want you to lead me in the way everlasting. The young man that came to Jesus desired eternal life. And if you desire eternal life, you've got to be willing to receive a word. You may say, my thoughts are not important. Why would I ask God to search those thoughts? Have they been pleasant thoughts? Because pleasant thoughts will produce pleasant speech. But if something else is going on in our minds, there's going to be something that comes out of our mouth. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Lord, see what my thoughts are. Search me, Lord. Examine me, Lord, not just by a passing move, Lord, but search me, Lord, not just my outward conduct, but Lord, tell me what my thoughts are. Tell me what I need to change. What are my purposes, oh God, you want to do in my life? And what is hindering me from that eternal purpose, Lord? If you'll search me, oh God, I'll listen. If you'll search me, oh God, I'll begin to seek out a way to change. If you'll search me, oh Lord, I'll look for a way to get better. I'll take this word and I'll hide it in my heart that I might not sin against you. Church, if you really want to be the church, you've got to be willing to pray, God, search me tonight. One more time, clap your hands to the Lord right now. What passes through your mind, what occupies your imagination, what secures your affection will control your will and your emotions. One man said, it must be a very sincere man who prays that God would search his thoughts. Lord, search it. If we're going to fulfill the will of God, we've got to be dependent upon whether or not we allow God to search us and reveal to us what we need to change and grow in God. An arrogant person says, I don't have any more need to grow. An arrogant person says, there's not anything that I lack. An arrogant person says, and a proud person says, it's not me, Lord, but it's that person behind me. It's that person beside me. It's that other person across the aisle. Lord, it's not me, oh God. Search them. Even the apostle Paul said, I have not attained. And then if the apostle hasn't attained, guess what? You and I are still in the process. We should still strive to seek out after the Lord and desire to be better. Listen, there's no reason why we should not get up in the morning tomorrow and say, this is going to be the best day. Listen, today may have been good, but when we get up in the morning tomorrow, why not have that attitude that says, this is going to be the best day I've ever had in God. This is going to be the best day. He's going to speak to me. He's going to walk with me. He's going to lead me today. He's going to help me to help somebody and to touch somebody's life. This is going to be the best day. Don't get stuck in the past, but believe God can do it for you today. Listen, this young man wanted an audience with the master, not just anyone. He wanted an audience with the master. So he ran to meet him. There was another man in the scriptures that ran to meet Jesus, the Bible says, and this man was held captive by a legion of devils. Both men ran to Jesus. Both men desired to get to the master. Both men decided that the only thing that could help them, that they needed, was the master. But oh boy, what a difference it was. What was the difference between the two? One was held captive by a legion of devils, and the other was held captive by his own possession. One said, I don't care about this legion, but Jesus, if I get to you, I know I'm going to be set free. But the other man said, Master, I want to hear what you've got to say, and I want you just to bless off on my goodness. But listen, First Pentecostal Church, God is not just going to bless off on your goodness. He wants to speak, and he wants to say one thing thou lackest. What's the difference between the two? Both needed the Savior. Both were lost without a Savior. Neither one had the ability to save themselves, but both needed Jesus. Young man, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Don't kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness to fraud. Not honor your father and mother. And he answered and said, Master, I've kept all these from my youth. But listen, I love it. The Bible says that Jesus, beholding him, he loved him. He didn't scold the man. He didn't beat down the man. He wasn't hateful to the man, because what the man lived by was honorable and good and was right. But he said, you've got one thing you're lacking. You've got to get rid of everything you've got, and you've got to sell it, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. What a word. What a key the master gave this man and said, if you truly want eternal life, go ahead and use this key. Here's the key. But I can't take the key. I can't unlock the door. I can't do anything but say, here's the key. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I what? I knock. Listen, Jesus was telling this man, you've got one thing here. Jesus didn't say, sell all that you have and you will have eternal life. That's not what Jesus said. And I don't believe that it was all necessarily when Jesus said, sell all that you've got. Listen, that part of selling everything that he had was to get him to the master. Because the best thing about what Jesus was saying was not that I'm selling everything. Jesus is not going to tell you to sacrifice anything if he doesn't offer you something better. Whenever you come to God and you give him what you've got, Jesus always says, I've got something better. I've got something greater. You go ahead and get rid of that earthly and I'll give you the heavenly. You go ahead and get rid of that sin. You go ahead and repent of that sin and I'll forgive you. You go ahead and get to that altar and I'll deliver you. He always gives us better. Take up your cross and follow me. Jesus didn't offer anything less, but he said, you know what? What I've got, young man, is far better than what you even anticipate. Listen, you expected when Jesus spoke to the scribes and Pharisees, they were angry when they left Jesus. They were aggravated by what Jesus had to say. Jesus, listen, told this man, you are a good man. He heard what the master had to say, but he chose to turn away. Jesus didn't call him like Paul or John did and called him a viper. He didn't call him a dog like the woman in Matthew 15, but the Bible says he loved him. Listen, he had the master right before him, and as he ran and came and kneeled before him, the master was saying, listen, friend, you've got one thing you're lacking, and if you could just do this one thing, you've got eternal life. You've got purpose in your life. You've got something marvelous in your life, if you'll just let go of that one thing. It was an open invitation, but he couldn't overcome his love of his possessions to follow the master. It was a choice between the temporal and the eternal. Nobody, no one chooses temporal over eternal. But this young man, at this point, he did. Be careful what you're truly living for. Be careful what you are truly living for. You may be walking in the commandments, but your heart is tied to the temporal things of this life. I go to church. I tithe. I worship. I'm faithful. I witness. I give. But my heart is tied down to something else in this life. Jesus said, young man, everything you're doing is great. For this man, When Jesus said, "One thing thou lackest," there's no doubt in my mind, he had the same flesh we have. He had more than one thing that he lacked. But you deal with the big thing first. Deal with the big thing first. I believe it. This man had issues. He was a good man. But I believe what Jesus was saying, if you're able to let go of this, what did Jesus say? If you'll say, take the cross, follow me. Jesus is offering the church in this hour a great trade. Go ahead and get rid of everything else that's holding you back. Get rid of everything else that's holding you back from your purpose. It should have been exciting news to this man. This should have excited his soul. That's all I've got to do. I know it's not going to be easy, but God, okay. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. You gave it to me to begin with, Lord. And if I ever need anything again, I'm sure you're able to provide it in the future. But Lord, I'm gonna let all this stuff go and I'm going to follow you. Church, would you stand with me tonight? I'm so thankful what Sister Erica said and Brother Brandon said, and I had no idea what they were going to speak on tonight, but the Lord is telling the church we need a search. And not only do you need a search, but you need the Lord to begin to speak to you and allow him to speak to you. And when he speaks that word, don't turn it off. Don't get upset with it, but say, Lord, go ahead and keep on speaking, Lord. Go ahead and keep on speaking, Lord. I'm going to get it right, Lord. Sooner or later, I'm gonna get it right, Lord. I'm going to work it out. I'm going to be intentional about changing some things in my life. What a different story it could have been for this young man. I hate it. I hate it when I read it. Because here he is, the words of eternal life. Precious. You can't even put a value on it. But he turned away from that word. Because he probably didn't get to the part about the cross and about following Jesus. All he heard was, I've got to let go of all of that. And Jesus is saying, if you're truly going to follow me, you've got to let that go. In church, if there's anything holding you back, you just got to let it go. We've got a few minutes tonight. Would you just come to the front of this church right now? And can we just begin to seek out after the Lord for a few moments. If there's been a word that has been spoken tonight that could touch your heart and mind, listen, Jesus has eternal purpose. He's got so much purpose for you and for this church, and we cannot let anything distract us. We cannot let anything else hold us back from that purpose that God has for us in this hour. Jesus had compassion. Jesus loved this man. Jesus desired to help this man. And tonight I believe this word that we have heard is designed not to hurt, designed not to hinder, but it's designed to free us. It's designed to bless. It's designed to help us to reach that purpose that God has for us. It's an eternal value. Would you lift your hands up right now and just begin to seek out after the Lord? Lord, I don't want to be tied down to anything else in this life. I don't want to be like the young man, Lord, who was able to follow all the commandments, but Lord, there's something deep wrong. There's something wrong in my relationship. What a blessing it is to see the Master saying, you can get it right. The Master's saying you could change. The Master's got an open invitation to each and every person. You can make that change tonight. You can let my word change your heart. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. That's it. Let's just seek the Lord right now. Seek him with all your heart. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Would you pour down?
Call upon him right now.
Hallelujah.
Search us, O God. Search us, O Lord. Search us. Yes, Jesus. Of Jesus. Would you find somebody that you can bless right now? Find somebody that you can pray for right now. Find somebody that you could just lay hands on right now and pray that the Lord would bless them. Pray that the Lord would strengthen them. Pray that the Lord would minister unto them. Would you do that right now? As they sing, would you just pray for somebody?
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.